Shabbat, everyone. Okay, let's begin or continue Basar B'Chalav, I guess. So now we're skipping Chal because we don't do much kashering of udders nowadays. Anyway, so we're skipping that long, complicated discussion, and we're going to Simon Sadi Aleph. And as I mentioned today in the chat, today is if Aleph through Gimel. I forgot to say B'li Neder. Hopefully, we'll get to all three Si'ifim today. And essentially, we begin now the halachos of Taroves of Basar B'Chalav, not just Harchakos, but Taroves of Basar B'Chalav. And it's going to start with Tzonin. We're going to start with cold contact between Basar and Chalav. And then we're going to move on. After we get through Tzonein, we're going to move on to where things get really serious. And that, of course, is when things are hot. And that's when Sif Dalet we're going to hit. Tasa Gavar, Ila Gavar, Sugim Seches Psachim. But for today, we're within the world of Tzonein. So a little bit of background. There is a pasuk in the Parshas Matos where the Torah tells us about Hechsher Kelim. And the Torah tells us, Kol Davar Asher Yavo Be'esh Tavrir Be'esh V'teher, Ach B'meini Da'is Chatav, V'kol Asher Lo Yavo Be'esh Tavrir B'mayim. So the pasuk tells us whatever is Yavo Be'esh, so it's going to need Libun, that's a Yukasher. It's unclear, though, what this V'kol Asher Lo Yavo Be'esh Taviru B'mayim is actually a reference to. Meaning, to the extent that there's any sort of din ta'oraisa about Tzonein B'Tzonein, it might come from this pasuk. So how might it come from this pasuk? So pasuk says, if it's not Yavo Be'esh, Taviru B'mayim. What's the pasuk talking about? So the Ramban quotes a Sifri that's a reference to Hagalas Kelim. It's a reference to Hagala. Nothing to do with anything we're going to be talking about now. A separate din called Hagalas Kelim. Rashi on Chumash writes, Matbilon Vidayo Vidafka Kle Matchos. The Dafka, when you have a metal kli, so there's a din called Tevilas Kelim. And this is a source for Tevilas Kelim being Doraisa, but again, having absolutely nothing to do with us. But then the Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban says, what do you mean, Tevilas Kelim? He says, Ein Lashon Ta'aviru Tevila. The word Ta'aviru does not imply Tevila at all. Ki haya omer Taviu Bimayim. Shehu Lashon Tevila. Kimo Bimayim Yuva. Vitamei Adar Vitaher. That when the Torah wants to talk about putting something in a mikvah, it would say Yuva or Taviu, not Ta'aviru. Taviru implies passing through, not dipping in. So what in the world are you talking about? How could this possibly be Tevila? Furthermore, says the Ramban, Af hakelim shetashmishan b'tzonein tzrichin hechsher min ha'isur shebehen milvada tevila zu ve'ech lo yaskirach sheiran kasher asa b'boim be'esh. That when it comes to kelim that use b'tzonein, there's got to be some hechsher that you need to do to it. So how could the pasuk ignore the fact that you need to be machshir the kli instead of talking about hechsher kelim? The pasuk only talks about tevila. How tevila is a totally separate parsha. It's a totally separate inyan. In addition to hechsher kelim, you need to do tevila. But the Ramban is bothered. How could you say that this is about tevila and it doesn't mention any hechsher? Also says the Ramban, kishalamdu chacham tevila zulo skiru b'hamikra zeh. When the chachamim tell us about tevilas kelim in Mesach Avodah Zarah, they don't quote this pasuk. What do they quote? Ach b'meinida yischata ma'im shanida tovelas behem. It's a different pasuk that the Gemara quotes to associate with tevilas kelim. So you stop making up your own drasha against the Gemara. So the Ramban thinks that it is not it's not correct, and also it's not so posh that tevilas kelim is doraisa. So instead, says the Ramban, aval perush ta'aviru b'mayim lechabsam uleshavshef osam b'mayim yafe at shetasru chaluda shenidbuka behem min ha'isr shenishtamish behem shezehu hechsheron min ha'isr. That when you have something that's tashmisho be'esh, so you do libun. Im tashmisho bar mamish gona barzva l'choshes gam bekesev azov m'labno ba'ar. V'imal yidei chamin k'gona b'dil v'alferes magilin b'chamin. And if you have something that you use with liquid medium, good, so then you do hagala. V'dover sholo nishtamshu bo be'esh ela b'tzonein. So what do you do if you have something that's not used be'esh and it's also not used with boiling water? So then you You rinse it off. You clean it off. So that's the idea, says the Ramban, that maybe on a Doraisa level there is some requirement of tzonin b'tzonin and requiring a hadach in a situation of tzonin b'tzonin. Now this is based on this idea that you need some sort of hadach of tzonin b'tzonin is a sugya in a very short sugya in Kuf Zayinam Beis in Maseches Chulin, where the Mishnah says. It's like a one-line Mishnah that Tzorer Adam Basur Gvina B'Mitpachas Achas. You can wrap meat and cheese in one napkin in one cloth. Ubelad Shliu Nogim Ze Baze. But you have to make sure that they don't touch each other. And then the Mishnah has one more halacha that relates to what we learned earlier in the earlier part of Ilchus Basur B'Chalav. But that's the first line of the Mishnah that you can wrap them in the same cloth. But be careful that if you're wrapping them in the same cloth, they shouldn't touch each other. So the Gemara says, why not? What's the problem? If they touch each other, what's the big deal? It's only tzonin b'tzonin anyway. Maybe with tzonin b'tzonin, you don't need to take off k'deklipa, but two hot piece of, not hot, a cold piece of meat and a cold piece of cheese touch each other, you certainly need to do hadacha, you need to rinse it off. So clearly the Mishnah, in addition to teaching that there is a din hadacha, according to the way the Gemara understands it, is also teaching us to avoid situations where hadacha would then be required, right? The Mishnah is telling us, you can wrap it with pachas, but don't actually touch them to each other. You have to be careful that they don't touch each other. I'm going to decline your call over here, because I assume it's, yeah, I think that worked. The Mishnah seems to be telling us, gotta be careful they don't touch each other. Why do I have to be careful? I'll just do adacha afterwards. Why do I have to make sure they don't touch each other? Elamai, the Mishnah is also telling me that you're not allowed to create a situation where hadacha will be required. And it's mistaver that the reason you're not allowed to create such a situation is because we're concerned that maybe you're not going to do the hadacha. Good, so that is the sugya in Shas, that is the one line of Gemara Maseches Chulin. The Tur then quotes a Bali Itur that tells us that Shema Mina, based on this Gemara, and that's key words. Kol midi dibayi hadacha kagon basar heter tzonein b'ka'ara shel iser tzonein asher l'chadchila dilma achel below hadacha. First, that we see from this sugya that tzonein b'tzonein is b'hadacha. That if you have anything that requires hadacha, it's asher l'chadchila because you might eat it below hadacha. So the Taz is bothered. How the Bala Iter can say Shema Mina implies that the Gemara says something, and then I'm going to derive something else. But this is mamish. He's just repeating the Gemara in the first half of the statement of the Bali Iter. So what exactly is the chiddush of the, you know, you need to quote a Bali Iter that to say exactly what the Gemara says. That the Bali Iter says, oh, Shema Mina. So the Taz and Sivkat and Aleph answers, V'yesh lomar dav mina davka basur gvina atzman. No, this is a leap, because the Gemara only speaks about taking actual basar and actual gvina. The Mishnah talks about actual basar and actual gvina. It doesn't talk about kalim. Kalim is already a leap. Kalim is already beyond what it says explicitly. Davka basar gvina atzmav b'kli shalem ein tzarech li zoher. So kamash malon de kalmidi debay adach v'afilu b'kli v'yalav l'midam rabayi nihi dekli palobay hadach mi'uboy mid'tali time b'adach mil kol midi debay adach v'shavinim. From the fact that it says that it requires that anything that will require adacha, you're not allowed to put in a situation where it will need adacha, that even goes on the kalim. The problem with this answer is that the Torah really should have said that the Bala Iter is teaching the kol midi dvay adacha afilu kli. I mean, it's really ikra chasam nasefer. He should have said something to highlight that it's about the kli. I saw in the Ha'aros on the bottom of the Tor, that it printed on the bottom of the Tor from whoever, that Ve'ev Shalomar, he says, that maybe the Chiddush of the Bala Iter is that even Bishari Surim, that the Havamin is that maybe it's Dafka Basar B'Chalav, they have to be careful, that you might forget and not be Madiach. But Bishari Surim, where you had the Kli, had Isser in it, so what are the chances that you're going to forget to be Madiach? Of course you're going to want to be Madiach if there was Isser. But Basar and Chalav are each kosher, so maybe there's a greater likelihood. So Kamash Malan, Afil Bishari Surim, that we make such a Gzerif, right?
All right.
Ah, okay. Meaning, so it's not such a problem. Meaning, the kasha is not such a kasha because he is emphasizing. Okay, meaning if you emphasize the word kara, so that's it's not just happens to mention it. He's emphasizing that that's good for the chiddush. Okay, so whatever the chiddush of the Bali Yitzir, meaning there's no question what the halacha of the Bali Yitzir is telling us, and it's accepted, right? That that this halacha is not only about meat and cheese, it's about kosher and non-kosher, it's about kosher kalim and non-kosher, I mean, it's about non-kosher kalim and kosher food, it's about everything that would, and all of that would require hadacha, and you try to avoid a situation where hadacha is going to be necessary.
Is everybody assuming that the plate is dirty or clean?
We're not assuming anything yet. We'll have to get there. What do you think?
Dirty.
That the plate has to be, why?
Because if it's clean, why would you need to be mentioned with the food?
What do you mean?
Because assuming the concern is a mitzias, that there's going to be iser stuck with heter, or if it's vasa v'chala, the two stuck together, so if one of them is clean, the chashash doesn't come off the ground.
So this is a major discussion that we're going to have, Bez Hashem, later hopefully later today, what's the assumption over here? It's a major question, right? What's the assumption over here? Is the plate mamish, you know, sparkling? In which case, what exactly is the concern over here? That you can have, I understand, putting meat and cheese together with each other, I get it, right? Meaning there's going to be some, I know there are no bleos or whatever, but the surface touches each other, I get it. But on a sparkling clean plate, is there such a concern? What would the concern be if it's clean? So we'll get there. That is a discussion in post-com as far as what the assumptions are here. David Kirsch, why do we require a duck in the first place? Won't the small pieces that may remain be butter? We'll get to that also. Okay. So we're just scratching the surface. No pun intended. Okay. So the pashtus is l'chora in terms of the chiddush of the Bala Itter is that the entire chiddush of the Bala Itter is in the second half of a statement. Meaning, in a chinami, the first half of the statement is not a chiddush. It's a restatement of what it says in the Gemara. But the Bala Itter teaches further that the gezeira to avoid samim b'tzonim ba'adacha is only if the item is not something that's typically washed. But something that everybody's going to wash anyway, it's no problem. Because you can create a situation that will require hadacha when you know that everybody's going to do a hadacha. The Ra'a disagrees. The Ra'a says, no, gzeira applies to everything. It's, we're not going to distinguish between things that are normally rinsed and things that are not normally rinsed. So the way the Achronim understand this machlokas between the Bali Iter and the Ra'a is very simply, what is hadacha? Does hadacha just mean a quick rinse, or does hadacha mean like really scraping something, really washing it well? If hadacha just means a quick rinse, so that you're going to do with basar anyway. What the Bala Yitzir says is very mistaver. So since you're going to do that anyway, so there's no concern that that you may miss the hadacha, because everyone takes raw meat and rinses it. But if it's more than a rinse, you have to rub it, you have to scrub it in some way, you have to be mishafshef bebasar, you know, on the item that came in contact with something that wasn't kosher, that it's onin b'tzonin. So then you can't just make an assumption about the meat. So that's the pashtus, that's what they're arguing about, that's the nukudas Hamachlokas. Now, Shulchan Aruch and Siv Beis, Paskins, call me the Dibay Adacha, Kagol Naniach, Basar Hatter Tzonein, Bekaara Shalisar Tzonein, Asul Chachil Dimach Ba'adacha, Bedavka Mevushal, Delav Orche Ba'adacha. Aval midi dorche ba'adacha kigon basar chayuch yotzi ba'o shari lechatchila. Meaning he paskins this bala iter, that's something that you would typically rinse anyway, doesn't have an iser of putting it in a cold tray for plates. So Kivegr quotes the Ra'a, who says the davka laniach iser b'kli hetar mutar hachi de darka ladiach hakli. Aval bebeiz minei ochlin shenogas abizal asar b'chalin. Meaning even the Ra'a would say, well, wait a second, it could be that you're allowed to create a hadacha requirement, but that's only by a kli. You would not be allowed to create a hadacha requirement by shnei minei ochlin. The Rashba, Rabbi Kivegr quotes, is matir b'chol inyan, is matir regardless that you're allowed to, meaning which is the same as the Bala Yitzir, that regardless of whether it's a kli or whether it's a whether it's actual food. So the raya that the Rashba brings from Pasuk and Parshas Tzav, the Pasuk tells us as achelav al achaza yivyanu, as achaza lahanafal satznufal lefnei Hashem. And then the Torah says, v'hikter akoyin as achelav amzvecha v'ya achaza la'arun ulevanam. So the Torah says in Parshas Tzav, they took the chalavim of the animal that touched it on the meat of the korban, the chalav was put on the chaza, But how could they do that if it's going to require hadacha? How could they create a situation that's going to require hadacha? Elamai, it's raw meat. Bali Yitzur must be correct that if it's raw meat, you're allowed to create a situation that's going to require hadacha. And that's why it's not a concern. So the Grunt, Sivkat and Bey, says, what kind of raya is that? We're discussing over here Gzeir Derabanan. We're not discussing a Dintal Raisa. So in a chinami, in the Mikdash, that's what they would do. But my concern is, did the Rabbanan later make a Gzeirah that you shouldn't put yourself in a situation where a dach is going to be necessary? So the pasuk allowing it is not a riot to anything about this gezeira d'rabbanan and what the limitations of the gezeira d'rabbanan are. De min haTorah vaday mutar. Of course, min haTorah it's mutar. Meaning, not that hadacha is not required min haTorah, but that the requirement to avoid hadacha, that's for sure only d'rabbanan. Whether hadacha itself is midrabbanan, there's what to discuss, right? Like we said before, the Ramban maybe says hadacha is required min haTorah, but certainly the requirement to avoid a situation where you're going to need hadacha, that's for sure only a din d'rabbanan. You don't get clear from the Gra whether the Gra holds that the ikar hadacha is only d'rabbanan, or right, meaning because it's enough to just say that the hadacha, that the requirement to avoid a situation of hadacha is rabbanan, right? He doesn't have to get into the weeds on whether the ikar idea of hadacha is only rabbanan. Rabbi Sablovsky suggested that maybe to defend the Rashba from the Gra, where the Rashba thought this was taka good raya, that they took the chaylev and they put in the chaza, and apparently they weren't worried about creating such a situation. So the Gra says, but it didn't rabbanan. So Rabbi Sablovsky thought that maybe the Rashba was referring to the klal of the Taz HaYadua. Right, the Taz HaYadua, the famous Taz that appears in a few places in Shulchan Aruch, where the Taz tells us that yes, the Rabbanan are given a lot of leeway in terms of making Dinim D'Rabbanan. They get to institute lots of Dinim D'Rabbanan, but there are limitations on what they're allowed to do, right? Milsa L'Shchicha L'Gazu B'Rabbanan. There are certain limitations on what the Rabbanan are allowed to do, even though Yesh Lodun, Rav Shachter has in his notes on Beitza, Milsa L'Shchicha L'Gazu B'Rabbanan, that they chose not to or that they're not allowed to, that it's beyond the rights of the Rabbanan to make such gezeiros mitzvah shchicha, but one of the limitations that Taz writes in a few different places in Shulchan Aruch is that if something is mefurish b'kra, then you're not allowed to be gozer din the Rabbanan against that which is mefurish b'kra. Right? That's why that's what the Prim Gadim writes in the Sicha Kolelas, that people often think that you have dinim daraisa and dinim d'rabbanan, that there are two madrigos of isurim, that there is isurim daraisa, isurim d'rabbanan. So Prim Gadim writes in Sicha Kolelas, not so. Within dinim daraisa, you have many different levels. Within dinim d'rabbanan, you have many different levels. A d'rabbanan with an asmachta is stronger than a d'rabbanan without an asmachta, perhaps depending on machlok zamar mitvah. But on Daraisa level also, you have dinim Daraisa that are halacha l'moshe m'sinai, don't even appear in Torah Shebichsav. You have dinim Daraisa that are from the Midrash HaTorah Drash Ben, that's a higher madrega. It's in the Torah, you just have to know how to decode it. And then there are dinim Daraisa that are mefurash b'kra. So what distinguishes a din Daraisa that's mefurash b'kra over a din Daraisa that's derived from the Midrash HaTorah Nidrash Ben? So says Prim Gadim, Hataz HaYadua, that the Taz that tells us that the Rabbanan are not allowed to make a din d'rabbanan that goes against that which is mefurish b'kra, but they are allowed to make dinim d'rabbanan that don't go against that which is mefurish b'kra. That's why the Taz writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Chazal never made a gezeira not to blow shofar on Yantif. Gezeira Shemi Yisakin Klishir, right? It would have been a perfectly good Gezeira, not to blow shofar on Yantif Shemi Yisakin Klishir, because that would mean that they're going against what it says in the Torah. The Torah says you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So to say, in certain circumstances, like when Rosh Hashanah is Chal B'Shabbos, that's when you shouldn't blow shofar. That's not directly against what the Torah says. It's not totally being oker the din of Tkiya Shofar or Mila B'Shabbos. They never made a Gezeira D'Rabbanan not to do Mila B'Shabbos because he understood that it's mefurish b'kra. So if the Torah says that you can put two cold foods in contact with each other, and there's no special dispensation for raw meat, meaning if the Bali Itur were wrong, that there's no special dispensation for raw meat, the Rabbanan couldn't make such a gezeira. Right, the Rabbanan would never. So must be, says the Rashba, that our gzeira of not allowing two cold things to come in contact with each other is not against what the Torah says, because the Torah was talking about raw meat, and raw meat is a different parasha. The Bali Yitzur is right. Raw meat is something that people rinse anyway, so it's a different category. That's the Gra's First kasha. The Gra also asks that maybe they didn't need to be concerned in the Mikdash because Kohanim's reason him. But maybe we would need to be concerned. How can you bring any raya from what was going on in the Mikdash? Kohanim's reason. So in the Mikdash, we're not going to be so concerned. So maybe the whole din only applies outside of the Mikdash. So you can't bring any rayas from what they were doing in the Mikdash. Ephraim, you had a question? Anything else? Are we good up there? Good over there? Yeah, sounds good? Okay. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch again over here, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Basar Gvina Shinagu Zebze Mutarin, El Shatarach La'adiyach Makam Negiyasan, Umutu Latrasam Bim Pach Sachzok Shin Shami Gzebze. Shulchan Aruch is very clear that you need Adacha when they touch, that you're not supposed to touch them to each other. Now, there is we pointed out before that the pashtus is that there's a machlokas rishonim how hadacha is done, whether hadacha has to be like a real scrubbing or just like a quicker kind of rinse. The achronim, you know, have that debate explicitly. The Badei Shulchan Aruch quotes a Yad Yehuda that it's not enough to rinse the meat and cheese; you need to scrub it down really well. Pesachei Tshuva discusses this. Quotes a Prima Gadim that v'hai adacha hainu adacha bi'alma below shifshuf without scrubbing it down so well. Pesachei Tshuva goes on to say that maybe there's a distinction. Maybe if there's duchah desakina and a davar shamein, like using the same knife to cut both meat and cheese, then you need shifshuf. Then you need to really scrub it well. Why would Ducha de Sakina make a difference? So what that's responding to, that's based on the Rashi, it's responding to a concern. The Gemara says that a shochet, not a shochet, one thing we know, a shechita knife, he never uses for anything else, right? That's why it smokes a machmas ches from kiss, because you know, any self-respecting shochet would never use his shechita knife for something else. He's too afraid that it's going to have a pegima in it, and it's going to make all of his shechitas nevela, so he's not going to mess around with the shechita knife. How many other knives does a butcher need to have besides for a shechita knife? So the Gemara tells us that a shochet needs a separate knife to cut away the fats, to cut away the chelev and the gin and everything, and a separate knife to butcher the meat. Why do you need separate knives for those two things? Meaning, it's tzonin b'tzonin. Whatever you're cutting will be cold already. The animal's dead, so it's just dead meat. It's cold. So why can't I use the same knife that I'm used to cut the chalev? Why can't I use to butcher the meat itself? So it would seem to pose a problem for the Bali Yitter, because if you're going to say because tzonin b'tzonin, you're not allowed to create a situation where you need hadacha, and there's going to be a hadacha situation. Well, Bali Yitter will tell you, no, it's not. It's not going to be a hadacha situation because it's raw meat. And raw meat, you're always going to do hadacha anyway. So why do I need two separate knives? So to defend the sheet of the Bali Yitter, the Rashba writes, duchka de sakina is different. That even though when it comes to raw meat, you're not going to require hadacha, you're not going to have an isser of putting them in contact with each other, and there's not going to be a problem of generating a requirement of hadacha, because with raw meat you're going to do the hadacha anyway. That's only true when the hadacha is a light hadacha. And the Bali Yitter, yes, holds that a hadacha could be a very light hadacha, a very surface kind of hadacha. But when it comes to duchka de sakina, then you need a much stronger kind of hadacha. So that's the Rashba, and that's what the Pesachei Tshuva is driving at. The Shach in Sivkat and Aleph writes, because of Bach Davka Keshach Me'en Lach Av Meshem Yiveshem Afilu Adacha Ein Sarach. So we'll have to get back, we'll come back to that in a second. What if you didn't do Hadacha? And by the way, this may not seem like it's the most practical, this is a very practical, very common kind of Shailu. This, you know, it's just important to get all the background first to see how we get from point A to point B. Meaning, if you ever stay at a hotel that has free continental breakfast, right, so this comes up all the time, especially if you're talking about Kalim. So if it doesn't come up so much that you're going to have basar and chalav that touch each other, you're going to have treif and kosher food that actually touches each other. I don't know, maybe if they have like pastries that some of them have ashkach and others don't, and they're touching each other, maybe you could have such a shaila. But most often, every hotel that has continental breakfast has kosher cereals. You recognize the brand names, the Cheerios, the Special K, whatever, and they have kelim, clay cheres, that or glass bowls or cheres bowls, whatever, and metal spoons that you can eat the cereal with. And the milk is all kosher in this country, right? We assume that cow milk is all kosher in this country. We don't know about water buffalo milk, but cow milk is all kosher in this country. So can you just have a bowl of cereal? Or you Airbnb, and there's all sorts of kelim in the apartment, and you buy yourself Haagen-Dazs. So can you use the kelim to eat the ice cream? So if it's going to require, so far the answer should be. So far. Right, meaning let's assume when we talk about kelim, right? Meaning we're not going to make any distinctions yet. But pashtus is that you're going to have a problem because you're generating a chiyuv of adacha, and not only that, you're not even going to do the adacha, right? You're not going to rinse off your ice cream. So l'chora, where we are right now, we have a problem. And even b'di'evit, what happens if you didn't do a hadacha? So there are three opinions whether it's us or b'di'evit if you didn't do a hadacha, and presumably, and you cooked it, let's say. Because if you didn't do Hadacha, just do Hadacha, do it right now. Or you didn't do Hadacha and it's impossible to do Hadacha. The Taz in Sivkat and Aleph sounds like Lukuli Alma, it's not Asur B'dievet, based on the Machlokas in Sivdalit about Klipa being Asur B'dievet. He says, if you have Machlokas about whether Klipa, when we say that Tasa Gavar and hot on top of cold requires Klipa, which we're not up to right now, but and there's going to be a machlokas whether that's asur b'di'evit, Rabbi Tam and Riva, whether that's asur b'di'evit, it must be that hadacha is not, it's not even a discussion. That hadacha is so much less, so it's not even a discussion. The Prima Gadim in Sif Seidah, Sif Kat Nyud, says, no, it's same machlokas, klipa is just a little bit more. Klipa is that you have to actually take off some of the surface of the item and not just rinse it off. But it's just about how far it penetrates. But it's the same machlokas that you have, whether it asers b'di'evit by klipa, you can have the same thing, whether it asers b'di'evit by hadach. The Yad Yehuda says, no, maybe we're more machmir by hadach than we are by klipa. Because the only reason to be makel by klipa is that there's a suffix whether it was nivla at all, even into a kadei klipa. And another suffix that maybe you have shishim connected that which is balua. But by Hadacha, you can assume that mistama, it was nidbak mimashanagabo, meaning klipa requires like a little bit of a leap of faith that something actually penetrated. I don't know that anything really penetrated. Whereas Hadacha, a surface touches a surface, so when a surface touches a surface, it obviously has an impact. That seems to be assuming, though, it's not a clean kli, right? Meaning by basa, let's forget about kelim for a second. You have basa touching gvina. You can't deny that there's something on the surface, that something sticks to the surface. So it's not really much of a sefik.
According to one of the options where we said where they're by klipa and by hadacha, it's going to be same achlokas.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that only work for the shita regarding the tam and not the riva? I mean, for the riva, he thinks there's like actual. the klipa is like actually aser. You actually need what's it called? Like it's actually like chesed shalisser, and you need shishim connected.
Right.
Whereas for Rabbeinu Tam, seemingly he doesn't hold like that. So the only way you'd be able to be Madonna of the two would be with Rabbeinu Tam, who holds a b'di'evit, it's mutter.
Why?
I mean, because for the Riva, he holds a klipa something totally different. I mean, seemingly, from the fact that we need shishim there.
That's just because of how far it got. So you need shishim connected however far it got. But by hadacha, it didn't go anywhere. It's just here on the surface. And it's sitting on the surface, so you need to clean it off. So that's why you're not going to need shishim connected. There's nothing to need shishim connected.
Right.
The
Yad Yehuda was suggesting that even were you to hold the klipa is a chumra ba'alma, you could still hold the hadacha is not a chumra, that it's necessary?
Yeah.
So then why wouldn't Rabbi Nathan say that
you need to do hadacha in the case of klipa?
Yeah, if it's like he doesn't say that, like, oh, now it's usher because
it's a shtarkataina. I don't know. That's a shtarkataina. That's a good question. I don't know. So lemaisa, it turns out that there are three basic shitos about using kelim when it comes to using the plates in the you know, in the Airbnb or in the hotel. It seems that there are three basic shitos. The Rama, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch over here, writes v'dafka davar sheish ba lachluchis k'tzas aval davar yavish mamish im lo bala hakli rak bitzonein mutal leniach ba davar yavish ba adach klal. He makes two requirements. He says there is a way that you're not going to need adacha. You have to fulfill two requirements. The food has to be dry, and the non-kosher plate has to have never been used with something hot before. Meaning, how did it become non-kosher if it was never used with something hot? So we already learned Tarov, so we know about this. Kavash kumavoshal, you know, there are ways for things to transfer without heat. It's unusual, but there are ways for things to transfer without heat. So you have a non-kosher plate that became non-kosher not al yedei cham, not al yedei any heat, and the food that's coming in contact with that plate is totally dry. So according to the Ramah, if I go to a hotel, can I put my cereal and milk in the kli, l'cha'ora? No, because the milk is moist, and who knows, maybe the bowl was nivla b'cham. So I don't have either of the. Can I eat dry cereal without milk? Can I eat dry cereal out of the kli? Still no, because it could be the kli was nivla b'cham, and if the kli was nivla b'cham, then you don't have any heter. In fact, Tosos and Avodah Zarah pretty much said the same thing. B'shem Rabbeinu Tam, in Avodah Zarah Lam Beis Amud Aleph, Tosos writes the kederos habluos mi basar b'chalav al yedeshen is bashal behem mutr lahasim mitochon davar yavesh kon tvua v'chen kederos hasus mishum chavis pesach mutr lahasim davar yavesh. Aval davalach lo, not the same thing. Only he makes the davar yavish davalach distinction, but not the distinction about balua b'cham versus balua b'tzoni. Meaning the Tosus writes in B'shem Rabbeinu Tam that just davar yavish alone is enough, but the Rama is not comfortable with that. He thinks it's got to be davar yavish and it was not balua b'cham. So if the non-kosher plate was used for hot non-kosher meat, you're not allowed to put kosher meat on the plate. Even if the plate is wiped clean and the kosher meat is cold and dry, it's what do you call those? Like jerky, like beef jerky that's totally dry. And if the meat is cold and moist, you're not allowed to put it on a non-kosher plate, even if the plate never came in contact with anything hot. It was only treif through kavush or malicha or something like that. So that is the Ramah. Comes along the Taz and he says something's wrong with this Ramah. There's a girsa problem in this Ramah. He says, because if you look in the Ramah, he says davar yavish twice. And he says ubagazos mashma da af bi yavish binusha yatashmisha tchila b'tzonei. When you read the Ramah, you get the impression that you need it to be yavish and that the kli was only used b'tzonei. Va'az mutar b'tzonei dafka. V'utamua ma'od. What an odd thing to say. Tekvarnis bar sheinu kein bar min dein loshen agazos tamua. And aside from that, it doesn't read straight. Shekasov mutar ladiach bo davar yavish. He says you could have davar yavish hu loshem yusar shekvar zachar b'tchila. What do you mean? You already mentioned that it's davar yavish. Why do you have to mention again? V'nir sheish kan tal sofer. So says the Taz, there's a mistake here. V'tzarech lomar. Aval davar yavish mamish. Oh! Im lo bala akli rak pitzonein mutal aniach bo davar lach below adacha. One or the other, says the Taz. Ubir dvar of the kayal mashkas for shulchan aruch b'kedir shel isut sonin vaynish and sham shuba b'cham and kamo shezachati l'el v'al zeh amar dvar yavish mutal sham shuba b'lo adacha. He's commenting with shulchan aruch talks about something, a kli that became treif with hot, so now you put a dvar yavish and that's fine, you don't need adacha. V'cheinim lo sham shuba isut tchila rak b'tzonin mutar ach kach b'lo adacha ilu b'davar lach kenir l'ni estaiti. And if the kli never came in contact with the davar cham, so then it's perfectly fine to even use the davar lach. And then he points out, v'levush lo zachar gam kein rak yavish l'chud desagi b'zeh. The levush also only mentions yavish. And by the way, Tosfos of Adzar, b'shem Rabbeinu Tam, yavish alone. You don't need both, one or the other. So you put meat in a clean, non-kosher plate, you don't need to rinse it off if the meat is dry or if the plate only became non-kosher through malicha or kvisha. So now, according to the Taz, you're at the hotel, you want to put your cereal and milk into the hotel plate and eat it with a hotel spoon. Cereal and milk, what are you taina? Still no good, right? Because it's a davar lach, and the spoon and the plate and the bowl were probably boleya with chamin. Ah, but if you want to eat dry cereal out of a hotel bowl, so that would be perfectly fine. Because davar yavesh, even if the plate was nivla be chamin, would be okay. Can you argue a cereal bowl doesn't have, you know, is nivla betzon in anyway? Because it's a cereal bowl. So what does anyone ever use it for other than cereal?
Dishwasher.
So a dishwasher would ruin everything. Yeah. And also, in hotels, like anything could have happened in a hotel. People, you know, they make do with whatever they have, you know, in a hotel. So people get creative in a hotel. I've seen signs at these continental breakfasts about what you shouldn't do, and like you think of like, wow, what if people tried? you know, what not to do with the waffle maker, or what not to do with, you know, don't put your own food in the waffle maker, like who's putting their own food, things like that. Then there's the Shach. The Shach in Sukkot and Gimel, and this is going to be our savior over here. Shach says, I don't understand the Ramah, nor do I understand the Taz. He says, I don't get it. You have cold meat, even if it's moist, and it's going to be balea from a cold plate? Even if the plate became non-kosher through heat, it's not hot now. Now it's cold. How's our blios going from a cold plate into even the most moist thing on earth? The blios shouldn't transfer. And he writes, "Cold varav mitchilas ratzov." And talking about the Rama, Adam of Anamli. I don't understand what in the world the Rama is talking about. And then he points out the Rama is Soser himself, because in Kuf Chaval of Sifhei. He points out that the Rama himself says Shekosva Tor Sham Vezel Shono Kelim Shemshav Shem Bechamin Kegon Kederos VeYoros Magilan Matbilan VeHein Mutarin. That if you have Kelim that you use like the Chamin, so you need to do Agala. VeKosav Rashbam Dafka Magilan VeAcharkach Matbilan. Tevilas Kelim comes after Agala. Avol Matbilan Tchila VeKtov LeSharetz Biyado. But if you were to bring them to the mikvah, well, they're still treif, it's ketovah v'sharetz biyado, because it's still got non-kosher food, non-kosher blios. Aval rikosav, sheyachalad bilan tchila. That you could be tovel them first also. V'imlo yirtzu l'shtamishbo elet sonein, yachalad bilu l'shtamishbo tsonein. He says, I'll prove to you that you could tovel it first. Because if all you wanted to do is use it as an ice cream bowl, then you never have to kasher it. You could leave it like that anyway. Just use it for tzonein. So don't tell me I can't tovel it till I kasher it. It could be you don't have to kasher it at all if you plan on using it for tzonein. And then if you ever plan on using it for chamin, yagilu v'yaspik lo tvilu shetvilu kvar. So it seems pretty clear from that Rama that as long as you're using it for tzonein, you should be unconcerned with the blios. Furthermore, v'chei mashem v'hedi b'sefer chumus b'shari duras in pei smag lavin kuf mem aleph shevi raya lekelim shenes bashal v'embasar b'chalav shemutu l'shtamish b'tzonein michavish al yayin nesach shemutu l'shtamish ben. The kelim that you cooked basar b'chalav and you could use b'tzonein, the rishonim, right? And they bring a raya from yayin nesach. Furthermore, v'alchei mashal v'hedi m'diver arashu v'chidush v'sham. Just clean out the kli, the Rashba writes. You don't need anything else. So the Shach says the simple reading of the Rama here is off. He says if the non-kosher plate is rinsed clean and the meat is cold, even if it is moist, you can eat without rinsing it. You don't have to clean off the meat, even if the plate was boleya b'chamin. So whereas the Rama said you have two requirements. It's got to be that it's a davar yavesh and the plate was boleya only betzonin. And the Taz says, nah, just davar yavesh is enough. Even if the plate was boleya b'chamin, it just can't be lach. The Shach throws both of those requirements out the window. If it's a clean plate and things are tzonin, it's perfectly fine. But then he just when we're in the clear, the Shach throws in one little chumra at the end. And he says, "Miu kol ze b'derech haray, aval im bol yishtamish ben derech keva, afilu tzone nasu gzer shem yishtamish ben chamin, kamo shukaz harav v'aga asim kuf chaval v'sifhei." It's only going to work if you want to use the derech haray. Meaning, there are no pleos. But like a din d'rabbanan, we're going to be gozer that not to do so b'derech keva, because you have trefa plate, so don't use a trefa plate b'derech keva, even in the best possible way to use it. Don't use a b'derech keva. So according to the Shach, the Shulchan Aruch that says he not allowed to put a cold piece of meat on a non-kosher plate must have been talking about not such a clean plate. Once the plate is clean, it's perfectly fine. But that seems to be the nukudas on the chlokas over here, right? I mean, it seems to be that the Shach was the first one to tell us that. Everyone else seemed to assume that we're talking about even a clean plate. Question is, I mean, Ribono Shalom, what could happen to the clean plate? Where are the blios going to come on a clean plate? With cold? So in Shirei Rav, Rav Salvechik suggests what you have to say, if you're going to say not like the Shach, what you have to say is that Yolam Yesh Pleitas Mashuhu Af Pitzoni, that there's a little bit of a blia that can transfer even b'tzoni, a tiny, tiny amount of blia that transfers with b'tzoni, a mashuhu. It's not going to answer b'diavid because it's only a mashuhu. It's going to be batel in whatever you're putting there. But there is some sort of blia even b'tzoni, as long as it's davalach. As long as it's davalach, there'll be a blia even b'tzoni. Because the mashu chametz is asa. No, because blios. No, I mean on Pesach. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, he actually makes that distinction. Right. He raises the question from chametz and has a couple of answers. Yeah. That's true. The mashu wouldn't be enough to generate an iser, according to our Salvagic, but you shouldn't use the plate. Why wouldn't you be allowed to? Why shouldn't you use the plate? What's the hesitation? It's not going to answer, but so why create a transference of blios even on a very tiny level? Oh, wait a second. We already learned Tarovah, so we have an advantage over here. What if you go ahead and you're mevatel it l'chadchila? What's the halacha? Can you now eat it? You just put a little bit of milk in the chicken soup on purpose. No? What's the halacha? A little chazara? It's asir. Right? When you're mevatel nisil chachila, you're not allowed to, even though if it falls in, nafal tipas chalav into a chicken soup, into a chalent. So it's mutter, it's batel b'shishim. But if I put it in there, part of ein mevatel nisil chachila is that it's going to be asir. So says Rav Salvechik, how does this work out then, according to the Rambam? I'm saying that the whole reason it's a problem is because of Ein Mevatel Nisil Chachila. But it's going to be fine afterwards. After the fact, it's going to be fine. Why would it be fine after the fact? Assuming that that's the case, that it's going to be fine after the fact. So Rav Salvechik explains that the reason we're machmir if someone is mevatel nisil chachila is not based on knas. I think we must have mentioned this already. It's not like, oh, you did something terrible, so we're going to be konis you, that we're not going to allow you to eat the food. No, he says, it's a gezeira shemiyavu lahatir af hecha shelo yeshir behatir kedei levatel iser. It's a gezeira that you might come to be matir even if you don't have, even in a situation where you're not going to have a shear in the heter to be mvatel yisr. Because I'm nervous that if you're taking a droplet and putting some milk in your chicken soup, you might pour the whole bottle in one day and not realize. Or you might be off on the ratios. You'll do the math in your head. They say that Rabelski's Zichron Baruch used to be able to look at a tanker truck and in his head be able to do the math on, you know, the blios in the walls versus what it's holding and, you know, figure out the exact ratios. But most people can't, even if they think they can. So that's the reason for Ein Mevatel Nisil Chachila being also b'diavad. But in the case of Tzonin B'Tzonin, there's no way it could ever transfer enough to be a problem. The whole mitzius of Tzonin B'Tzonin would never transfer anything that would ever be a problem. So there's no possibility of a transference of time. Just give me a minute. This Svara, Rabbi Kornitzburg points out in the footnote, is similar to a Rashba that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadi Tes that we learned already, that if let's say you have Iser Muat, that's Nivla L'Tocha Kli, but the normal usage of that Kli is B'Shefa. People don't use that Kli for small amounts of things. So you have a teeny tiny amount of isra, it's nivla in the kli, but every time that kli is used, it's used for enormous volumes of food. So the Rashi holds you're allowed to use that kli because its usage would never lead to a problem of blios of isra. So it's a similar kind of svar.
So then the Shach and the Taz and the Shitasim are rejecting that Rashba also. They also don't like this from us. So.
Okay. So right. Now the Rashba is an even greater chiddush than this Ramah in a certain sense, because the Rashba says that you can even use that kli l'chachilim. I mean, the Ramah is saying don't do this, but it's a similar svara. Rav Shechter pointed out that this mahalich of Rav Soloveitchik, that it's not a knas, it's not a din in knas, right? It's a din that gzeira shema, your ratios are going to be off. It says l'chora, it's against the Gemara Mufrashis and Gittin Daf Nadalit, because the Gemara discusses whether Rekori Shoge got to Mezid, and one of the rais is about Mevatan Asil Chachilu. So it's hard to say that it's not Knas. Kone Shoge got to Mezid. It happens to be Lahalacha. How do we paskin over here? You have the Ramah, you have the Taz, and you have the Shach. How do we paskin? So most of the Achronim paskin like the Shach, which is the most makel possible situation. But it's not that 100% everything is fine, right? Meaning if you're in an Airbnb and you're going to be using the kelim over and over and over again, the Shach says you shouldn't do that either, even if the kelim are clean. So I once asked Rav Shechter, like, what does Derech Arai mean? So he thought 3 days is already keva. So if you're staying in an Airbnb or in a hotel that has plates in the room, and you can use those same plates for 3 days. He has a raya from Mishra Brura that 3 days? I think he said 3 days. I think he said 3 days. No, 1 second. He pointed out that if it's an Airbnb or like your private hotel room has all these different, so that's one thing. But if it's like the continental breakfast, you're getting new kelim every day. I mean, the chances that you're using the same kli you used yesterday, that there's room to be makel. That's what he thought. Now, there is another important potential kula over here. I saw in the Sefer Ol Yaakov. There are another couple of potential kulas over here. So in the Sefer Ol Yaakov, he writes that Maran Hagon of Yosef Shalom El Yashav Pasach Shemutel Chachilu Lishtos Lach Tzonin Bekolosos Shal Batei Malonu Chadome Kiven Shemakbidim Lishmar Al Parnasasim Vadei Shifshifu Heitev Kol HaKelim, that they clean the kelim so well in hotels that if you're on a date in a hotel lobby, you can have Lach Tzonin B'derech Arai. What's the kula? That's exactly the Shach. That you could rely on the Shach. But then he goes a step further. And he says, the Kinyan Deya, he quotes in the Ol Yaakov, says that maybe this whole discussion is moot nowadays. All of this is only, he writes, the kol ma she'tzrichu lasos hadocha ala ochel menichu b'kli yisru chadome haynu dafka bizmanan if you do your dishes without soap, there's always a little something, a little residue still on the kli. Even if it looked pretty clean, if you do your dishes without soap, there's always something, there's always a little something that's still left there. But nowadays that we have soap, and the stomach's cleaned really well, we can assume it's really clean with soap. V'od de'efshar liros miyad ala kliyim urochet seitev alav. V'ulay bismanam hayu klicheres o kliyet o kliyim barzel cholud ktsas. A little bit of rust on the kli. Sheliyolam lo yotzu mitzuchtzachim. They didn't come out sparkly. V'ef shalahakir kol kach im a kli naki. And you couldn't always necessarily tell. So that question we asked at the beginning, are we talking about clean kelim or are we talking about dirty kelim over here, right? So the Shach took it to one to one step, that even though we're talking about clean kelim, still only derech arai. But according to the Kinyan Deya, even the shach's clean kelim aren't our clean kelim. That our clean kelim are so clean that you don't have to worry about anything, even derech keva. So do you have al malismoch? Rav Shechta didn't seem to think that like this Kinyan Deya. I mean, he said, well, the shach's are clean, it's clean. We're going to change the definition of clean nowadays. But I think it's pretty mistaver that you know, that there would be no blios whatsoever. You know, this was they used to have like you know, ice cream stores and things like that, where you'd have cold metal kelim where they have kosher ice cream in a tray for restaurants or something. And people would go and have cold metal kelim, you know, a metal spoon to eat the ice cream.
The shach's worry is that you're going to use it for common, so why does it matter how clean your plea is?
Yeah, that's really based on Rishonim also. Yeah. I mean, if the concern is that ultimately you'll use it b'chamin, so it shouldn't, the Kinyan Deya shouldn't help us over here. Shouldn't help. It helps to be more comfortable with the shach, but it can't help you to be more makel than the shach. Yeah, it makes sense. After that, I didn't see it inside. I only saw it according to the old Yaakov. I don't know. Now, there is a potential chumri here. The Ran is quoted by the Beis Yosef to be machmir for klei cheres, because the whole kula is that using it for cold is only going to be temporary, and you could eventually kasher it before you accidentally use it for a hat. But klecheres, you're never going to be able to kasher, so you have to be machmer even on a temporary basis. That's based on the Gemara Pesachim Dav Lamed, right? The Gemara Pesachim Dav Lamed says that that Rav says that klecheres, which are balua b'chametz, you have to destroy before Pesach. According to Rav, it is, we don't pass in that way, obviously. We don't destroy our clay cheres. We don't assume that there's an issue of chametz shavah lev pesach on the blios. We don't assume chametz shavah lev pesach is in daraisa. Oh, you have a little battery over there. Let me just leave with that so that we don't keep that. Okay. Am I muted?
No?
Okay, we're good. All right. There's also a discussion, maybe we'll close with this, just about keeping treif kelim around the house. You know, is that problematic? You have these treif kelim. So we already saw, we had a pretty good raya when we were discussing, you know, with the Torah and the Rishonim discuss about Hagala or Tevila, which one comes first. So the raya the Rama had that Tevila can come before the Hagala, is that who says you're ever going to do Hagala? You'll leave the kli around, and maybe one day you'll do Hagala. So apparently there's not really a problem with just keeping treif kelim around the house. However, the Rashba has a tshuva where he seems to assume otherwise. The Rashba has a tshuva where he discusses a case. You know, the Gemara says in Pesachim that Rav required breaking kli cheres that have chametz balua in them. But there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that allows kli cheres that held wine, non-kosher wine, that as long as you leave those klecheres around for 12 months, then it's going to be kosher, then it's going to be okay. You don't have to worry about the blios in it. So why would Rav ever say you need to break klecheres before Pesach, right? Meaning don't break that, meaning he's worried because it's going to be chametz shavah lev Pesach after. You can't just put them away. It's not probably Rav, but it's going to be chametz shavah lev Pesach afterwards. To use it, the blios are going to be chametz shavah lev Pesach. Just hold on to it for 12 months. Right, that's the famous Shita of the Chacham Tzvi. It's based on that Gemara. The Gemara says it by Yayin, and the Chacham Tzvi says, who had in everything? Right, everything that the Blios last for 12 months. The Blios just go away after 12 months. They disappear after 12 months. So if you say like that, Chacham Tzvi, so why would the Gemara ever recommend, why would Rav ever recommend breaking the Klei Cheres? Just keep it around. So says Rashba, it must be that you're not allowed to keep it around. Meaning that it's usher to keep non-kosher kelim around. If you have a situation where you're yarshin from an irreligious grandmother or something, okay, so then it was kept around, but you're not allowed to keep it around. So, you know, that chumrah of the Rashba, not to keep non-kosher kelim around, is only there because of the kula of the Chacham Tzvi. Right, they go hand in hand. Once you're going to be making like the Chacham Tzvi, so then you're going to need to say, meaning outside of Yayin, once you're going to be making like the Chacham Tzvi, outside of Yayin, and you're going to say, oh, Bleels disappear for after 12 months, so then you're going to have to say a Chumrah of the Rashba that Bleels disappear, but you're not allowed to make them disappear. You're not allowed to leave it around long enough for them to disappear. We paskin like neither of those things. We don't paskin like the Kula of the Chacham Tzvi. We assume that even after 12 months, Kelim HaTreh, we use it as a sniff. When you have a number of other Tzadim L'Hakka, we'll use the Chacham Tzvi as a sniff. But it's not, we generally assume not that way. And we also don't paskin like the Chumrah of the Rashba, that you're not allowed to leave on non-kosher kelim. Like we said, you know, it's pretty mefurish in Kuf Chaf Aleph that if you could do tevila before agala, because who cares? So you'll have non-kosher kelim, you'll just use them betzonin, it's not going to be a problem. So apparently you're allowed to leave non-kosher kelim around. Meaning, when you trafe something up, which happens from time to time, that you trafe something up, so when you trafe something up, do you right away have to kasher it? Oh, you can't do it right away, right? You got to wait at least 24 hours. Okay, so 24 hours. You set a clock, 24 hours, kasher. Well, you can put it on top of the fridge or something, wherever you keep all your trefa kalim. And when you get a nice big stack of trefa kalim, so then you'll go and you'll kasher it. And l'chora, that's perfectly fine. Okay, we did Se'if Aleph and Beis. I said B'li Neder about Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel is very short, but okay, we'll go into Sif Gimel and Sif Dalid, which is the real meat and potatoes over here, Bez Hashem, on Wednesday. And that's Sif Dalid. You got to see that Sugi Yim Sachim, Ilah Gavar, Chasah Gavar. And okay, and then we get into Kavash and Malicha and everything like that. So, familiar territory, Bez Hashem. Great day, everyone.